Hello, and welcome to another episode of Married with Chickens.
Married with Chickens.
Yes.
And Cat.
So, you are the only ones who saw the chickens today. How are they doing?
They're all right. Oh, they were funny.
Yeah?
Yeah, I let them out kind of late. You know, it was getting pretty close to where they needed to go to bed.
Yeah, by the way, yep. Fuck this time change. I hate time change.
I know.
I hate winter time change.
It's kind of a bummer, but it's cool in the morning. I get up earlier.
Womp womp.
It was really beautiful this morning. I woke up and everything was really foggy and cool looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. But yeah, I wish we could also have the evening sun time. It's a bummer when it's dark by 5:30. I don't dig it.
Yeah. Not a big fan of it.
Chickens don't like it either. Or maybe they do.
I don't know. I think they just, you know, get up with the dawn and go to bed with the dark.
They don't
regardless
care.
Regardless of what day it is. Right. I mean, it's not like they have a schedule.
That's true. They kind of do,
they don't
though.
Have meetings to attend all damn day.
Well, they sort of had a meeting today. So I let them out. And they, you know that spot where we actually broke through our septic system?
By us, you mean me?
I do mean you.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were together when it happened.
They love that freaking spot.
Right? All I can guess is that it still leaks a little and there's worms. There's more worms in that area because of the wetness.
Probably. That would make sense.
That's my guess. But yeah, they were just going crazy and they were almost fighting over it. And they were taking baths and they were like down on their sides and kicking dust up on one another. It was pretty damn cute. But easy, there's not enough room for three birds in that little hole, just two.
Right.
So they're like jockeying for position, trying to get in the best space. And Easy finally was just bird out.
So Easy was out.
Easy was out.
Hmm.
Well, she's the less aggressive of the three girls, I think. Because Cher is normally in charge, but lately it's been Sunny, so I don't know what's going on. Anyway,
yeah. The pecking order is completely upended.
I know. All this this craziness with molting has changed everything. So, yeah, no eggs. Lots of poop, but no eggs.
Yeah, lots of poop.
What do you do? Yeah.
Scoop it, I guess.
Yeah, well, I did. I scooped it to poop. I did.
Scoop it to poop.
I did that.
The problem is there's so many feathers now. And it's like,
yeah.
How the hell are you supposed to you compost the feathers too?
No.
Now you got to pick the feathers out or
what? Yeah, that's what I do. I pick the feathers out of the poop.
Oh, well.
One by one individually.
That's gross and I don't.
No, I don't do that. I throw it away. I just put it in the gray bin.
Huh.
Yeah.
The feathers and the poop?
Yeah, all of it.
Huh.
I just throw it away.
But that's some good poop we could be
I know,
our
but our composter is like super full.
Yeah, well.
It has so much shit and dirt in it. Literally shit. Chicken shit, as it were. So, yeah, I figure until we figure out a system, like we can't put too much more in there.
Right. At this point,
anyway.
We probably need some leaves.
Oh, we put plenty of leaves.
Oh.
I get lots of leaves. Although the maple tree has been raining down beautiful leaves. I thought it'd be cool to put them in the composter. Those are the right kinds of leaves. I don't think eucalyptus leaves are good for compost.
I don't think so. Eucalyptus isn't really good for much.
It's not good for... It's good for
makes
natural
awful
bug spray.
Firewood.
It does make really bad firewood.
Good
it stinks.
God.
Yeah, listener, never burn eucalyptus in a fireplace.
I mean, fortunately,
ever.
We didn't have to learn that lesson, but...
We looked it up. Actually, we knew.
Yeah, because I came back from that thing up the hill here.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an outdoor fire
party.
Pit.
Mm-hmm.
And...
It was nasty.
They were burning eucalyptus, because, my God, I smelled like it for days. Like, I showered...
Did you actually smell like...
And showered.
Eucalyptus, or...?
Yeah, I smelled like eucalyptus smoke.
Right. Huh. And it stinks.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. I don't know why I thought it would smell worse than that.
No, it just smells like burning eucalyptus.
Hmm. Well, this is just all fascinating.
I know,
right?
Yeah.
It's a good thing we did this.
My eyes were so burny.
Burny. Oh, Burny. Why won't you win? Anyway.
He will.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Blurg.
All right. So
it's been a couple weeks. We took a little vacay. Well, that's technically not true. Nope. I was out of town.
I was
Chad,
here.
You tried to talk to yourself for a podcast and apparently it didn't work.
Didn't work.
Just not very interesting.
I annoy myself usually. And that podcast was no different.
Did you actually try it?
No, I just kind of sat. I didn't record anything.
Oh, you're like, okay, what would I talk about?
But I did sit down and talk to myself, and I'm like, well, this isn't working, even if I had a mic in front of me.
Oh, you could have talked to Mishka or the chickens. You could have brought the podcast down to the ladies.
That's so loud back there.
It truly is.
The freeway.
Do you think that bothers them?
I don't know.
I always wonder if the freeway noise messes with the birds, the animals in general, not just the chickens.
Right.
But anyway. Yeah, so how was your week? You had a friend in from out of town?
Yep. And we tried to podcast and we went off the rails.
We totally went off the rails.
Yeah, that it's none of that is
usable.
None of it's usable. None of it's worth listening to. It's and it would probably get half of us fired, those of us who are employed.
Yeah, yeah, it was funny. But it was good times. It was nice having
good
a friend
times.
In town. And
yeah.
We drank a lot of alcohol, as it turns out. There's a little left.
A little bit.
Man, that's some good tequila.
Yes, it is.
I love me some good 1942. Don Julio.
Don Julio, 1942.
Beautiful. It's like caramel. Tastes so good.
It is.
Yeah, smooth. Expensive. It better be smooth.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, so I gallivanted across the country to good old PA. Love that city. It was cool.
And Philadelphia.
Then you stayed here. Yeah. Good old PA. Love that city. Yeah, Philadelphia. Guess I didn't say which city, did I? Could have been Pittsburgh for that matter. So, yeah.
I don't think anyone loves Pittsburgh.
A lot of people do, actually. It's a pretty cool city.
Hmm.
We've never been there, but I've heard it's cool.
Right.
Yeah. I would move, if I could move somewhere in PA, it would be Lancaster.
Yeah, well, your vote might actually matter there.
That's true. Did they get the results of any elections they did? Do you know?
What?
Well, they just voted.
Well, they didn't, did they?
They did, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I was confused by it. I'm like, why are you voting? What are you voting for? But because we're not voting in California.
We didn't have any governor races,
so like
or any
special
elections. We didn't have anything.
Yeah, I was like, what's happening? Who's voting for what and why? But anyway, yeah, people all over the country voted. Things went a little blue.
That's what I hear.
And I don't mean sad.
Wah, wah.
Right?
So sad.
So what else have you been up to, Mr. Chad?
Not a lot. Just
did you write anything in a notebook?
Working.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that. Do you have any special things? Have you seen the German Shepherd?
I haven't seen it personally, but there was a sighting today.
Mm. A little run-in?
Apparently.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Kat said she ran into him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she was taking Sophie for a walk, Sophie being a very little dog. This German Shepherd came running up, but it seemed, she said she wasn't threatened. The German Shepherd just didn't seem aggressive. So that's
right.
Good.
That's a nice
yeah.
switch.
Yeah, that kind of made me happy. So we don't have to worry about him attacking dogs or small children. Just chickens. Great.
Right. Well, he doesn't have a track record of attacking chickens.
So he doesn't know how delicious they are.
Well,
not
presumably.
Quite. Hopefully he never finds out.
Right.
Yeah. So our last podcast, we talked about Stanley Kubrick and Lolita.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we kind of went into depth about Lolita. And so I just wanted to say we watched it. We did end up watching it after our last podcast. And it was damn good. Really good movie. What year was that? Was that in the 60s?
62, I think.
That's crazy. Yeah, it was well done.
I remember the trailer was comical because it was just like, how did they make this movie? Lolita.
Oh, right.
How did they make, they kept saying, how did this movie get made?
Right.
It's like, I don't know, money?
Well, I think the whole point was that it's like risque for 1962.
Right.
And it was, but everything was, you know, innuendo.
Yeah.
But it was also fucking creepy. Like, they did a good job of making Humbert seem really just like creepy.
Yeah.
Pretty bad dude. Pretty bad dude.
Indeed.
So, yeah, so I was glad that...
Not a sympathetic character.
Not at all. So I was like, good on you, Mr. Kubrick. And what else did we see? Oh, last night we saw a fabulous movie that made me very happy.
Oh, yeah. Dolomite is My Name.
Yeah. Awesome movie. Awesome movie. Eddie Murphy did a great job.
I don't know if I'd say it's an awesome movie, but I got to say it's the best movie Eddie Murphy's been in a long, long, long time. And we're talking like since Golden Child. Long.
It's been
like a whole... They've been popular, I think. But they've just been like shit movies.
I don't know. I can't think of any.
Really? Actually. Norbert?
No, don't know it. Norbert? What's that?
It's one of those shitty movies where Eddie Murphy dresses up as every goddamn character.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Which, you know, admittedly has kind of been his thing in previous movies, but this one was just...
Is that where he's like an old man in a barbershop?
That one's a different one, but yeah. He does that same sort of thing throughout a lot of his movies.
Right. Well, I don't know. I was really impressed with his...
I'm just glad he didn't play multiple parts in this friggin' movie.
Right?
You're just so much better at just...
Being. Yeah, he did a really nice job. I loved it. Now I want to go watch some blaxploitation. I want to see Dolomite.
Shaft and...
Oh, I love Shaft. Awesome.
It was a goodie.
Yeah, really good. And the music is great. And I don't know, I really enjoyed it. I liked everything about it. I thought it was well done. And I had never heard of Dolomite, for that matter. Which is kind of crazy, because we were into blaxploitation back when I was in college.
Right, because
I had to watch it from
your film
theater.
Class, you had to watch... What was it? What the hell is it called? Sweetback's... Something Revenge or...
Yeah, I can't believe you remember that. That movie, I was not into it. There's something about blaxploitation films that, I mean, everyone's exploited, for sure. But in that one, there was like a little boy who was basically, he might have been 12, having sex with a woman. She kind of grabs him and rolls him over onto the bed with her and like clearly... does inappropriate things. And that's when I was just like, yeah, I'm out. That's not okay. Yeah, it was crazy. So, Sweetback.
I can't remember the damn name of it.
We'll have to find it. Yeah. But that was a film class. Yeah, I was supposed to watch it in film class. And I don't remember watching it. I might have skipped past that part, but it definitely, I don't know. I wasn't into it, but there were a lot of other great films from that era. It was an interesting time.
Sweetback's Badass Song.
Sweetback's Badass Song. Yeah, there you go. Good job. You found it.
Yeah, you know who the kid was.
Who?
Mario Van Peebles.
Really?
It was the director's son.
Holy shit. That's crazy.
You know what's, yeah.
You don't want to say it on the...
Well, no, he received a $50,000 loan from Bill Cosby to complete the project.
Really?
Bill Cosby's up in everyone's shit.
Yeah. Yeah. He had his hands in way more cookie jars than anyone ever realized. Which is so sad. You know, he was such a, I don't know, iconic, wholesome character. Turns out he was just
Just a fucking monster.
Yeah, totally. Crazy. Now he's in prison as an old man. He is in prison, isn't he?
I hope so.
Yeah. Good grief. This world's upside down. It's on its head. What's happening?
Seriously. Mm-hmm. All the people you loved from the 80s are fucking monsters.
Right? Well,
I don't know if that's the case. I don't know all. That's
no, I think that's
a bit of a generalization.
Yeah, it's a stretch. But I mean, it's a little crazy, you know, just to realize like how many powerful people in Hollywood and politics and, you know, the shit they get away with. And it makes you wonder if the type of people who go into that line of business they're just narcissists. They're power hungry. You know, it's just that's that kind of person.
It's interesting that you say that because I was thinking while I was making dinner about, because I've been listening to a lot of political podcasts, which is no surprise, but I was thinking that it's similar to say like, basketball, right? So it's self-selecting. Like, in order to be a basketball player, you've got to be really freaking tall now. And if you're not that, then you don't become a professional basketball player.
Okay.
You know, so in order to be a politician, it's self-selecting.
You have to be an asshole.
You have to be an asshole. You have to be an egotistical prick.
Right.
And
a narcissist.
You either do that or you go into banking or you go into, you know, one of those other
right.
other fields
right.
that reward that type of activity.
That's true.
So it's self-selecting. It's not that, oh, well, it's just you have to be that in order to do that.
In order to make it.
Yeah. And there are very few exceptions, it seems, but.
Yeah. Huh. That's really sad.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, what you gonna do? We're not cut out for politics, apparently.
I guess I won't be running for office. Hmm.
Thanks. No, I mean, thank you, because that would suck for both of us.
That would suck.
Now, can you imagine if I came to you one day and said, you know what? I'm gonna run for office.
Hmm.
Like, I get clammy and have a hard time speaking in front of people. I can't imagine going out on the stump and
right?
And, you know, saying vote for me because I'm amazing.
I think I'd actually be a really good politician.
Yeah, maybe.
I speak well in front of people. I'm opinionated. I have a heart.
Opinionated and sometimes, you know, needlessly so. With no facts behind you, just opinionated.
That's right. I just have opinions. They mean nothing. They're based on nothing. Well, I don't know. There was a short period of time where I thought I was kind of interested in maybe running for city council.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the problem is like being put on the spot like that, and I'm too confrontational. Like, I just don't suffer that kind of questioning that you're going to get as a politician. Like, I just give honest answers, and you can't give honest answers as a politician or you will go nowhere. You will have a very short career.
Right.
You know, so it's like you learn to pivot and deflect. And it's kind of bullshit. Like, just answer the question. Just be.
Yeah, quit dodging.
Yeah, I don't dodge. And so, therefore, I piss a lot of people off. People either love me or hate me.
Right.
So, I don't know. Maybe I could do it. Anyway. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be going into politics. I think I'll stick with...
Jennifer, 2024.
Right? No, thank you. Yeah, and I don't like the idea of not having a private life, which is really fucking ironic.
Right?
Because we only broadcasting have one listener,
so it's like
our private life.
Yeah, I don't know. How much are we broadcasting? How public is it?
It's not. Yeah, it's not like anyone even knows about it. We don't tell anyone about it. If anyone finds it, then that's just random.
Blind luck on our part.
We have our one listener, who, by the way, listener, we really appreciate you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for coming along.
Yeah. On our ridiculous journey into God knows what. Whatever topic just happens to be plucked out of the air at any given time. Hi.
which is really nothing at this point.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what I have to say.
I'm just so fucking brain dead from all the boring shit I've been doing at work this past week.
Yeah.
It's mind numbing.
We have some really exciting projects coming up, but I can't actually talk about any of them. So, wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, I'm emotionally drained. I had an emotionally draining week.
Yeah, why is that?
Yeah, I just went on a crazy trip. That's why. Yeah, I don't know if I want to talk about it.
Yeah, well, it was emotionally draining then. I can't imagine it's, you know, I'd hate to drain the last amount
of any energy that I might have.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what it is? We just need whiskey. That's all.
Yeah, we don't have any.
We don't have any?
I don't know. I don't think so. But, you know, I'm trying to be good. I haven't had a drink in
a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Woo.
Woo.
And, you know,
look at us.
I'm sure my kidneys and liver are thankful, but...
Right. You got to go dry every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just having a dry week.
Well, some people do entire months, and some people do entire 30 years.
That's true.
Yeah.
Someday I'm going to quit drinking. I feel like I need to.
Yeah.
It's a crutch.
Well, it is.
At the end of the day, I just want a glass of wine and I just want to relax. Or a glass of whiskey. Not a glass. Good God.
A tumbler.
Just a tumbler, a tumbler of whiskey. Just a fifth here and a fifth there. No, you know, I mean, an ounce and a half maybe. It relaxes you and just, yeah, it's a nice way to end the day.
Right.
And I really love good whiskey and I love the taste of wine. So it's, you know, it's both, but...
It's a treat for, you know, a day that you've suffered through.
Right.
You get to the end of it and you're like, I deserve a reward.
Exactly. Yeah, so you get in that groove and if you deny yourself, you feel, well, kind of pissed off, frankly.
Right.
It's like, I deserve this. I work hard. Yeah. So I've been gone about 5 days and I didn't do any work while I was gone. I mean, maybe I did a tiny little bit, but very little. And I got back and this morning I woke up at, I don't know, 6 a.m. and I was working on some projects and I was super focused. And then as soon as Kat got to work, she was asking me questions and then you started IMing me and people started like interrupting me and I was so frustrated. Mostly because it's like my brain is having a really hard time shifting from one topic to another. I used to be able to do that really easily. I could work on something and have someone talk to me at the same time and I could focus on both and then I could answer the question and continue. And I just can't do that anymore. So Kat asked me a question and I literally like couldn't come up with the answer. I had to like pause, clear my brain, focus on what she was saying.
Yeah, I get that. But I think the thing is that no one can multitask like that. They think they can, but they're not doing either to 100% ability, right?
Mm. I think I'm just tired.
Well, I think there's that too.
I think I was better at it. Maybe I wasn't great, but I could do it. And I could remember everything and I could shift from one topic to another pretty seamlessly.
Right.
And now, like when I go from working on today, you had questions about a website and I was just like, my brain is elsewhere. I was writing an article for something else and then to shift to that and then answer another question about this. And it's like, overload. Yeah. I just felt like, you know, I just don't have the bandwidth for that anymore. Like literally I don't have enough bandwidth. I think of myself as a computer and I've read books on how the brain works and they say, you know, our brains are nothing like computers because people use that analogy pretty frequently. And I guess it's not even slightly accurate, but it sure feels like it. I feel like there's so much data in this brain of mine that I just don't have enough room for anymore.
That's because we're in the matrix.
I think we really are in the matrix. I do. There are days when I'm like, yep, this isn't real. We're not really here. It's all a test.
Yeah, that's probably not the case. I mean, it's as real as it needs to be, right?
It feels real when you...
If you prick me, do I not bleed?
I was going to say, when you break your ankle, it feels pretty damn real. Well, no, I don't know. I'm getting more existential in my later years.
Right.
Whatever. Middle years? I don't know. Got a long ways to go, baby.
Middle-aged.
Right? Woo. Yeah, it's for the birds. They're middle-aged, too, our little birds.
Yeah.
The ladies.
So is our kitten.
And that little cat's middle-aged. We're all just middle-aged together.
We're all growing old together. Presumably, they're going to die before us.
God, I hope so. Jeez.
Well, I mean, ideally, right?
Right. Have a cat that lives another 25 years. That would be crazy. It could happen.
I don't think so.
So, yeah. Yeah. I guess I don't know. So, yeah, I went to meet my birth family.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I decided to go and say it. Who I just connected with a year and a half ago through Ancestry DNA. So, I went back to meet them all. And I felt like I was like, I don't know, jumping into a big pit of fire. It was totally unknown. I mean, they're really nice people. And of course, I've been talking to them for the last year and a half. And I did meet my birth father and his wife. And it was really awesome. Like, they're really good people. And I love the conversations with them. But going back there to meet all of those people was just emotionally overwhelming.
Yeah, it's just like being thrown into the deep end of the pool and having to learn how to swim.
Kind of. Yeah, it's like not...
Oh, now I have to meet another...
Everyone.
...family that I never knew about.
Yeah, and my family's already, you know, enough, frankly. We're all kind of... We're a lot.
You're all a little nutty.
We're all a little nutty. We're all great, but nutty. A little bit fucking crazy, as it were. Yeah, so... I don't know. It was really weird. It was weird being, you know, accepted with open arms by these strangers that call me daughter and sister and cousin. I don't know. It's weird. And there's a lot of them, too. So I was going back to meet all these people, and I went to their church. Everyone was, like, really excited to meet me, which made me feel even more awkward. I don't even like being the center of attention, you know, so that was weird. But there's one, as soon as I walk in, this one guy comes up to me and he's like all excited. Now, he doesn't know who I am. I'm just a stranger in the church. So he's going to go meet the new whoever, you know.
Like, oh, we got some fresh blood in here.
Exactly. It felt just like that. And he's like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And I'm, you know, I shook his hand and met him. And then he says to me, so who do you work for? And I was like, who do I work for? I'm like, excuse Myself? Me? Yeah, I was like, wait, what? It was pretty funny. So then, you know, Christina says, oh, this is...
Because there's like three places of employment in that town?
Well, I don't know. I don't know why he asked me that.
Like, who do you work for? I work at the John Deere factory.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to ask him. But then a little bit later, this woman who happened to be with this guy... comes up to me, and it was almost like there was like a receiving line of people right before church starts. So I probably met like, I don't know, 15, 20 people. But this woman comes up and she's got a neck brace on, and she's just one of those really crooked looking people. Like her whole person is just crooked. She's like slightly askew. And she walks up to me and introduces herself, and then, you know, my birth father says, this is my daughter. And she's like, oh, wonderful. You know, where are you from? And I tell her San Diego. And she says, oh, do you come visit often? And I said, no, this is my first time. And then she looked at him and said, oh, do you go to San Diego often? And he said, no, nope, I've never been.
Never been there.
And she just got this look on her face like, wait, what? This is your daughter and you've never visited each other? So at that point, someone else stepped in and I met that person, and she just kind of, you know, wandered off. But I thought that was pretty funny. That was like the highlight of the church trip for me. This is the look on this woman's face is like, wait, what? What's happening? Why don't you visit each other? You know, she's going to go away thinking we're like estranged and haven't spoken in 30 years.
She's probably still trying to do the math on that one.
Well, because I told her, she said, how long have you been in San Diego? And I said, 30 years. And so she's like, oh, they haven't seen each other in 30 years? It was pretty funny. But they were all like really lovely people and everything was really nice. But before I went, as you know, I felt panicky.
Yeah.
I felt like...
For like 4 days prior.
Yeah, like this anxiety, like this unknown emotional thing that I was getting ready to submerge myself in. And I didn't know what it was going to be like. And, you know, the fact that my dad just died in March really adds to the weight.
Right.
Of all of these emotions. Like, here's my birth dad, but then my dad just died. And then part of me feels like it's a betrayal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I see that.
And I haven't, like, really mourned my dad because I just haven't had time. And, like, that's all just very complicated. And I feel like I almost need to, like, take a week off just to really...
Just fucking cry it out.
Yeah, like, to really think about, like, that loss. You know, and every time I start to feel sad or cry, like, I have a deadline or I have to be somewhere or something happens to interrupt that. And it's just hard. It's hard to let yourself, you know, fully experience grief. It's easier to be like, okay, I'll deal with this a little later. So I've been doing that, you know, hiding from or dodging the inevitable grief. But I'm sure I'll deal with it. It's also pretty fresh, but So going back there felt like, I don't know, a little bit like a betrayal. And anyway, I was at the airport. I kept thinking to myself, I don't have to go. I just don't have to go. And that would make me feel better. It was like putting it off, you know, like putting off the feeling of being overwhelmed. And then I'm at the airport and I check my bags and I'm watching it go down the conveyor belt. And I had this overwhelming feeling of panic. Like, oh my God, my bag's going to Philadelphia. Now I have to go. And I was thinking to myself, how can I get my bag back if I don't go? You know, it's like all these things in my head. And I thought, I gotta calm down. Like, I have to actually deal with this.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there thinking, how am I gonna do this? And then I thought, I know, I'll just pretend like I'm a foreign exchange student and I'm going to stay with this really friendly family. This really loving, kind, friendly family. And I just thought, yeah, that's it. I'm a foreign exchange student. This is research and this is an experience and I'm just going to do it. It's going to be fine. And I felt better. And every time I'd start to feel kind of panicky, I'd be like, yep, I'm a foreign exchange student. It's all good.
You would adopt an accent. You're like, yeah, you betcha.
Totally. And I remember I called you and I told you that my coping mechanism. And you said, well, it's nice that your family speaks English. Your foreign family speaks English. I'm like, that's true. I chose the country of Lebanon.
Lebanon, PA.
Lebanon, PA. I discovered how to actually pronounce it.
Lebanon?
It's like Lebanon. Yeah. It's not Lebanon. So we were eating dinner. We went to this Mediterranean restaurant. And the owners were Italian and Lebanese. So he was Italian. She was Lebanese. They opened a restaurant together. And so it's sort of a fusion. And
That is a weird fusion.
It's really weird. And it didn't really have what I considered to be a fusion as much as it was Italian.
We have and this and that.
Exactly. That's really what it was.
Like, we're not putting these together. But if you want Italian, here you go.
Yeah. Like, they had a pasta of the day. And then they also had, like, the falafel or the hummus, you know. So at the end of the meal, our server's standing there and she says, so where are you from? And I said, Lebanon. And she looks at me like, wait, what? You people are from Lebanon? And they're like, oh, Lebanon, Pennsylvania. She's like, oh, okay. It's pretty damn funny. So yeah, I survived that and it was really good, but I'm really tired.
Well, your plane did get in at like 10:30.
I didn't sleep a lot. Yeah. You know, I get up early, super early, and stayed up super late. And that combination doesn't work well for me because, as we mentioned earlier, I'm middle-aged. So,
and not a morning person.
And not a morning person. Yeah. But I wanted to get up at 7:30 because 7:15, 7:30, because he wanted to have breakfast, and he's a morning person, she's not. So I'd stay up late talking to her and get up early to have breakfast with him, and it was like, oh my God.
You people will be the death of me.
I should have taken naps. But, you know, I think it's, besides being physically exhausted, yeah, and then I got in at like almost 11 o'clock at night.
And I had to drive home, and then
I have to take my shower and do my lotion, you know, the things you do. But yesterday I was like, just spent. Today's better, but I'm pretty tired right now. It feels more emotional exhaustion.
It's not even 8 o'clock now.
Good God, are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm so ready for bed.
It's this whole early sunset shenanigans.
Right? Totally. Yeah, it feels like it's like 9:30 at night. It's not even 8. Yeah, so there's my emotional experience, listener.
Yeah.
Yeah, the crazy, crazy shit, ancestry DNA. You know, I think about, like, the fact that, you know, a sperm donor can have up to, you know, 100 kids out there. That's crazy. Are all those kids going to, like, get together and have reunions? Because they're technically all related.
Yeah,
by blood.
Yeah, but what about, like, that? Wasn't there one doctor who ran, like, a sperm bank and, like, used his own?
It was all his sperm. Yeah, I heard about that.
Seed.
That's fucking crazy.
I mean, that's horrible to think of, but it's there's going to be, at some point, all these kids are going to, well, not all these kids. I mean, a certain percentage of them are going to grow up and want to know who their father was.
Totally. And now with Ancestry DNA, you can find out.
Yeah. And they're going to be every, you know, there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of kids.
Right.
Whose father was this one.
One dude.
One fucking egotistical douchebag.
Right. Crazy. Yeah. And then like all these people that are your half siblings. So I wasn't really sure how to process that, you know. It's like I'm hanging out with my half brother, and the funny thing is, like, he said something about a smell, and I said, looked at him, and I said, "Do you have a really keen sense of smell?" And he said, "Oh yeah, totally."
Oh my God, it runs in the family.
And I looked at him and I said, "Isn't that weird?" I didn't say, "Yeah, me too." I just said, "Isn't that weird?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's really weird." And I was like, "Oh, wait, did you know what I was just talking about? I meant I have a keen sense." He's like, "Oh, yeah, I knew what you meant." I'm like, "Okay, that was weird, too."
My God, you're all weird.
Right? And they like pillows, Chad.
Oh.
Everywhere I went, they had fabulous pillows.
I know.
I love them. I love pillows. They love pillows. Even the boys love pillows.
I don't believe
it. In this case, they're men, but you know. Yeah, my half-brother's like, "Oh, I love pillows." Been, and I was like, yes!
They've just been brainwashed.
They've all been brainwashed. That's because they like comfort, baby. They like
you just
comfort.
Need one goddamn pillow.
Well,
you put your head on it.
Well, okay, what is wrong with you that you don't like pillows? What happened to you in your childhood?
I don't know.
Let's talk about this.
I don't think there is any one like traumatizing pillow incident. I think it's just
someone didn't try to snuff you out with a pillow.
Here's what it is. These fucking pillows, some of them that you, it's not even the pillows, it's the bolsters.
Mm.
You know, there's like pillows on top of pillows on top of pillows, and it's like,
no, the bolsters are in the closet.
It ruins the look of a clean bed. Not that I ever make ours, but
right.
You know, when it is made, it ruins the clean, crisp look of it. And I...
It's so not true.
And then I have to pull them all off and move it. And
okay, well, I haven't used the bolsters in well over a year.
I know.
Because you complain about them. But to me, it like just adds this like this finished look. Like otherwise, it just looks like a bachelor lives here. With the sheets just on the bed and they're not tucked in and everything's unfinished and... just awful. We've got issues.
Yeah.
We're going to have to work
this
through.
We're going to have to work this out over the next 20 years.
Here's what I do. I just say, meh, whatever.
Exactly.
It's just a fucking pillow.
And just like I've come around to your piles.
Your piles?
Of laundry.
You have, wait, oh, okay.
I was never a piler until I
met
you.
Now you pile?
Now I pile. I've got a pile in there of... like various stages of wear.
Right.
Like,
well,
I got, oh, this pair of pants I only wore for 2 hours that day. And
yeah, exactly.
I'm going to put it in this pile over here.
I had to go out into society, so I put on this pair of jeans for an hour and a half, but they're not dirty. I can still wear them, but they're not clean enough to put back in the drawer.
Right.
Right. So that's so like stage
on
two.
On top of the dresser.
Yeah, like ready for another brief outing into society. You know, like when we go to dinner down the street.
Right. Or I hop on the motorbike. I can't hop on in shorts.
True that.
So yeah. I got to put pants on.
Right. Right.
And then I have socks that I put on. I go out for 20 minutes to the grocery store and come back.
Yeah, because it would be silly to wash them because they're not really dirty.
Do the same thing the next day.
Yeah. So what I need is a big walk-in closet so that we can have cubbies that organize our various stages of worn clothing.
Yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Now we're talking.
Anyway, until that happens.
We just have piles.
Yeah.
Well, and then there's the laundry piles.
Right.
Sort of. I mean, we try and keep them inside.
I haven't figured those out yet.
Well, no, I have my laundry pile because I've got my dry cleaning pile that can only be dry cleaned.
Exactly. And you've got delicates.
And then the delicates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't even fuck with those because I'm
right.
Like,
so
I
that's
will
annoying.
Ruin them.
Because we only have two little holes in our laundry thing. There's the darks and the lights. We should have
could get
three
a third one
or five or six.
Jesus.
Yeah, we need six. We need dry cleaning, gentles, whites, lights, darks.
You just don't put dry cleaning in it. You just put it, you know,
but
one,
I gotta put it somewhere else. I need
there.
A cubby. I need
You've
more
got cubbies.
I need more cubbies.
Oh.
Build me. More cubbies.
I can't build cubbies. I'm no good at woodworking. You know this.
You're very bad at it.
That's why we have friends.
I remember the first time, okay, we just gotten married, and I really wanted a bookshelf in my kitchen for my cookbooks at the time. Which luckily then I had a lot fewer cookbooks than I do now. But anyway, I was looking for a bookshelf. We got
some heavy ones now that would just destroy most bookshelves.
Well, most bookshelves can handle heavy books. That's what they're made for, except yours. This one?
The one next to you there is
pointing at my bookshelf. Bent? It's all fine. No, wait, what? It's not bent.
Yeah, it is. Those.
Yeah, but that's because they don't have a support on the end. They just hang out. Anyway, no one can see this. We should stop talking about it. Right. That.
Anyway, go back to my
absolute shit bookshelf. So Chad says to me, he says, oh, I can build you a bookshelf. And so in my world, when someone says they can do something, I believe them. So I'm like, cool. So you did. You went to Home Depot, you bought the stuff, you came back, and you built me a bookshelf. And it looked good. I mean, it looked fine. It wasn't like nice wood. It wasn't finished, but you know, it was utilitarian. It worked. So I put all my books on it, and it promptly fell apart. And I was like, huh, okay, that's weird.
Yeah, fortunately, I've learned a little bit since then.
Well, I appreciate that you tried. And, you know, there's very few things that you're bad at, so it's kind of awesome.
That's my blind spot, is woodworking.
It's woodworking.
I should have just built it out of fucking metal. Huh. I know how to braze.
You could have welded it. You could have welded it, yeah. And that would have been held fast for a long time. Yeah, I mean, you recently fixed the air conditioning unit, which is crazy. You can do electrical. I remember when the heater core in the Range Rover went out, you fucking replaced it, which meant that you had to take out the entire dash of the vehicle.
Yep.
Because you had to go in from the inside, not under the hood.
Yeah.
And that was a feat. I was impressed. You've rebuilt carburetors. You made my ring, my wedding ring.
Yeah, I can work with metal.
Yeah.
But so, put wood in front of me, forget it.
Yeah. Now I, on the other hand, I have built some things, just not since I've known you. I used to build some badass forts when I was a kid.
Right.
I built a log cabin.
Yeah. What about like pillow forts? Because I would believe that.
No, I built actual structures.
Right.
I built a log cabin.
Well, I built mine out of wood. You can imagine how well that worked out.
Out of logs. And I built another one that had a tin roof. I don't even know where we got all this stuff, but we literally constructed like a little, I mean, most people would call it a shed. We called it a fort. It was our fort. And we built it on someone else's property. In fact, I think it was at the city hall in the backyard. I don't know why or how that happened. But yeah, we like grabbed and gathered and finagled. Yeah, then we built this little shed, and that was our fort. It was cool. And it did not fall down.
Did you have to crouch to get into it?
No.
Or is it full size, stand up, walk
full
in?
Size, straight up, yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
I don't know. I've always liked the idea of, you know, like a tent. You know, you have to crouch down and you get inside and you're like... Mm.
Well, a lot of my forts were like that. The log cabin was full size. We stood, you could stand in it. And I had bunk beds and a little chair in the corner. It wasn't a chair as much as it was 2x4s in through the logs that kind of made like a shelf.
Oh, like a bench or something?
Like a little bench, yeah. And then we did the same thing. At the at one end, we did a whole bunch of 2x4s. So we did like bunk beds or, you know, bunk bed type benches, one up high and one below. And my sisters and I slept in it.
And no one died.
No one died. Oh, and I used to make igloos, sort of. They were more snow caves.
And no one died.
That's actually kind of shocking.
No, snow caves are great.
It was cool. Yeah. Yeah, so I put hay and then I made little bunks in there too for my sisters and I. And we had a little lantern. Gave us.
Yeah.
So we had light. Yeah. And we slept in there. I remember my mom was kind of freaked out. She was like, are you sure, Steven? And he's like, oh, this is fine. And we were warm. Yeah. We had our sleeping bags and it was pretty cool.
There's a story that Yvon Chouinard was writing, I think, in one of his books. I read an excerpt at one point, and it was about him having like some sort of like stomach issue or something. I can't remember exactly why, but he had to stay behind for like 25 days in a snow cave.
Whoa.
And they'd like make periodic runs back down to like a base camp to get food and whatnot. But he was just like lying in this
crazy
this tiny little snow cave that was like the roof of it was right above his face. And of course it's all like, it melts and you're lying there in a sleeping bag that's damp and, but you're warm.
Yeah, you don't have,
you're not, I wouldn't say you're warm, but you're not dying. So.
So was he above base camp at that point? He couldn't get down to base camp?
Yeah, I think so.
God, that's crazy.
So like some of the people he was with were like either pressing on or constantly making runs back to base camp. And it's been a while since I've read it, but.
That's pretty crazy.
But I'd like to revisit it again.
Yeah. Well, he's a tough motherfucker.
Presumably at this point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he always has been.
Yeah.
He's badass. We should have him on the podcast.
Right?
Wassie. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'd talk to him about. I guess I'd just ask him about all of his adventures. You know?
Yeah, I don't know if he cares to relive all that shit.
Yeah, I know, right?
He seems to just be into like fly fishing with Dan Rather.
Dan Rather?
Yeah. They're like fly fishing buddies.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I love Dan Rather. That's awesome. Yeah, I follow him on Facebook. I appreciate his commentary as of late, news reporting. He's pissed off and I'm pissed off with him. Yeah. Let's interview Dan Rather. That's who we should interview.
There you go.
Right on. I'll just send him an email.
Yeah.
Say, hey, man, we want to have you on the podcast. Married with Chickens.
Perhaps you've heard of us. Are you our listener, Dan?
Dan Rather is our one listener. Well, probably not. But yeah, so YC. So you would have a lot to talk about with YC.
Maybe a little bit.
No, yeah. I mean, you're both into the same stuff. I mean, currently he's into fly fishing.
I need to do more of that.
You do need to do more of that. Well, if we had maybe money like he does,
right?
We could take 2 months off every year and go to our Wyoming or like, Montana cabin on the river.
Right. If only our company made $6 million a year.
Yeah, we should work on that.
Or whatever the hell it is they make.
By the way, that's never going to happen. That means I'd have to have an actual company.
And an army of workers.
Right. And that's the part I don't want. Yeah. You know, sometimes I still think of us as just kind of fucking around. You know what I mean? Like we don't really have a real company. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, actually we do.
Yeah. We've been doing this for 14 years.
More than that.
I keep saying 14. I'm going to keep saying 14 for the next 5 years.
16 years in January. So I think we're official. I think we're a real company. We have employees.
Bona fide, woman.
We're bona fide, for sure. We have employee.
Employee, singular.
Employee. No, we have contractors. We have quite a few. And yeah, we've been doing it long enough that we have, I'd say we're an actual company. But I forget that. I think that we're just kind of messing around. We're still trying to figure out what we're going to do with our lives. So this is just sort of an interim.
Right.
But I am kind of excited about some things I got going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This podcast, chief among them.
Chief among them, baby. Chief among them. No, I mean, yes, I like the podcast, but I'm excited about another podcast in the works. I'm also excited about some books I'm writing. I'm excited about some of the changes I'm going to make in the company that will hopefully make things more efficient, more strategic, better for our clients, better for us. And if it's streamlined, maybe we can make more money. Because that's the problem, you know. We have a finite amount of time in our day, and I do so much handholding that we're just constantly behind the wheel. Behind the wheel.
Behind the eight ball. Yeah.
We're not behind the wheel. We're behind the car chasing it. Yeah. I want to get behind the wheel. That's actually what I want to do. I really want to start fishing.
Just now starting to fish.
Thank you, John Lurie. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm kind of excited. I think things are going to get better. I think I'm truly, I mean, I mean it when I say I'm just now starting to fish. I think I'm just now figuring out how to do this, how to do it smarter. You know, that stupid work ethic, that working hard and proving myself is so ingrained in me that I just almost can't stop myself, you know?
Right.
12-hour days is like, that's just what I do, but it's killing me slowly.
It is that.
And it's not making for better production, you know? Like, my output isn't any better because I work more. In fact, I think it's lessened my productivity. I spend a lot of time...
Studies show that, and we're probably no exception to the studies, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I can feel it. Like, yesterday, I was just like, oh, okay, I'm done. And I don't know, it was like 2 o'clock. I got up and went to bed. I didn't sleep. I just laid there for 3 hours thinking, why can't I sleep? But, you know, I just needed to not be staring at my computer. Because there's always something I can be doing. Answering emails and, you know, busy work, but not actually getting anything productive done. So, yeah. So, listener, when I figure it out, I'll write a book on it and I will tell you all about it and then you can buy it. You know, you'll be my one buyer, but that's okay. If it helps you,
maybe we'll just give it away free here.
We'll give it away.
I'll just read it.
Give it away. Wait, yeah. Anyway, all kidding aside, seriously though, I'm excited about getting shit kind of back in order and trying to figure out how to work less, maybe actually take vacations that don't involve family.
Right.
My first family or my apparent new family. My newfound family. Yeah, I have so little time. Oh, I'm supposed to call someone. I just remembered.
Family.
Yeah. Darn it. Yeah, there's just not enough time. There's not enough time. Imagine if we had children. What would we do then? We can barely take care of our chickens.
I can barely take care of myself. I take better care of the cat and the chickens than I do me.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. Just because it sounds good?
Oh.
I don't think I honestly believe that.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, sometimes you go without eating. So maybe that's true. You would never let our chickens or our cat go without eating.
And I never let them eat junk food either.
That's true. Which,
thanks to that bag of Halloween candy in the other room.
Good God. Yeah, there's probably, what do you think? I don't know, 200 pieces of candy in there?
It's like a 10-pound bag of candy.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah, so our assistant's boyfriend's children went Halloween trick-or-treating on Halloween. And one of them is like, what, 13? And apparently he was allowed to go by himself. I think there were a lot of large bowls of candy dumped into his big pillowcase. Right. I think that's what happened there.
Yeah.
Maybe not, though. People are giving away a lot more. I mean, when I was giving away candy, sometimes I would just give big handfuls because I had so much of it and so few trick-or-treaters. So I did go trick-or-treating in Pennsylvania.
Right.
I was in York, actually. And it was really cool. I actually really like York, Pennsylvania. Really neat little town. And so I was with my birth sister, my half-sister, birth sister, yeah. My half-sister, daughter of birth dad. And in her little community, it was like super diverse. Everyone was super friendly. And I don't know, it was just kind of awesome. I really liked it. Cute little kids with their outfits.
Yeah. It
wasn't too cold. The night before, there were tornado warnings. So that was nice.
Exciting.
I know, right? If we lived in the, I don't know, the Midwest and beyond.
In Tornado Alley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Well, fortunately, they have basements there.
Okay, so that's crazy. Every single person had a basement. Is that just a thing? Like, everyone has a basement?
Yep.
Really?
You gotta hide from the damn tornadoes.
So that's why?
I don't know if that's why, but that's kind of a thing.
Yeah, it was just crazy. I was like, wow, every single house.
Yeah.
So my half-brother...
That's why I thought it was so strange when I get out here and there's like...
No basements.
No basements.
Yeah. Well, it's been so long.
But then I've also tried to dig holes in the ground to plant trees out here, and it's fucking miserable.
Yeah, it's like
a non-starter. So I can understand why there's no basements.
Well, people say it's earthquakes, but maybe it's more the rocks. I don't know. There's rocks there, too. When I was a kid, people had basements, but I don't remember it being like everyone having a basement. We have a basement, but it's not really a basement.
No, it's technically above ground.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's confusing. We're on a hill.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's our week.
Jesus. And what day is it?
I think it's Thursday, which means tomorrow we get to drink.
Do we?
Oh, I don't know. I was going to not drink till Thanksgiving, but I think I've changed my mind. That sounds like a terrible idea.
You did have a glass of wine with dinner.
Oh, it was very little, though. It was just a tiny little bit in the bottle.
Yeah, I hesitate to call it a glass.
No, it was like a couple ounces. But
it's
I do have
leftover wine from before when you
before I left. Yeah.
So, a nice vinegar tinge to it.
A little bit. I cooked my salmon in it today, and I'm going to tell you right now, it was delicious. Okay, listener, here's the deal.
Are you going to give out your salmon recipe?
I'm going to give out my salmon recipe. Are you ready?
No shit.
Here it comes.
Super simple.
Super simple. I take a head of garlic, and I peel every piece of garlic. I take cherry tomatoes.
A head of garlic?
A head.
Wow.
You know, it's probably like half of it, actually, because I think a bunch have been pulled off. So it's like 10 cloves of garlic, approximately. So you get some oil, get some olive oil in the pan, get that nice and hot, not too hot. Toss in your garlic cloves and your cherry tomatoes and get that on like medium heat. Let that cook until the garlic starts to soften. It kind of browns a little bit and your tomatoes start to pop. So they're going to like... Yes, just like that. Once that happens, I take my salmon, which I've already salted and peppered and dried, so it's nice and it's not wet. And slide that in, skin side down.
Now, what kind of pan are you in?
Today I used a nonstick, but normally I don't. Normally I use the...
And the nonstick worked for you?
It worked great.
You got a brown on it?
Yeah, but normally it worked great, but normally I do use the other pans, the silver, Calphalon.
Right.
Did I say that right?
Calphalon. Yeah, it's just a stainless pan.
Yeah, I just used a stainless, exactly. And then cook that for about 3 minutes, whatever, till it looks right. Then I flip it, cook that some more, and then it's looking like it's getting real close. I take about a quarter cup of wine, pour it in the pan. Let that cook just for like maybe 10 to 20 seconds, and then I put a lid on it. And then I let that steam finish cooking. And then when that's done, I pour that over lettuce, some quinoa, some vegetables, some apples, and the sauce gets poured in on top of that. I like to do roasted vegetables with that too. And it is so delicious, so simple. Damn, wish I had some more. Oh, wait, I do.
You got some for lunch if you want it.
Yeah, yeah. And so the tomatoes and the garlic, and it's just, I mean, you can put it with anything, really. You could put it on mashed potatoes if you wanted to, or pasta. Pasta would be delicious.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, yeah, there we go. That's my recipe of the week, or the month. I probably won't give another. I don't know, maybe. Depending on the mood. So yeah, well, thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thanks. It's been kind of low energy.
Low energy. Yeah. This has been one of those sort of shit's gone down.
Yep. And now we're just recovering.
We're in recovery mode. Well, we'll have Davida and Michelle back on. They always bring the energy up a notch.
That they do.
All right. With that.
All right, listener.
Good night.
Good night.